It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. I've ditched Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. We got an upgrade here. Andrew Callahan from Lions 247 joins us right now to talk some spring football. Andrew, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing quite well after that introduction, but I'd have to object. I think Greg does a fine job.
Well, it's not so much a compliment for you, but a put down for Greg, if that makes sense.
Oh, well, you know what? Okay, I take it back. Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. Now, I'm curious to hear your thoughts just on some of the themes from the spring that we've heard, coming out of the blue-white game. It's gotten a little bit quiet now, I guess, but some of the guys who are breakout candidates or some of the things that we saw in the blue-white game, just curious your thoughts on how much we'll see again. So let me start right there with the blue-white game where obviously everybody knows what the deal is. It's a glorified scrimmage and this and that, but there is actually some real opportunity there at the very least to see some of these guys individually for the first time. Not a lot of schematic type stuff that you should probably scribble down, but maybe a thing or two. But what did you see in the blue-white game that really piqued your interest that you'll be watching out for, whether it's this summer or this fall?
You know, there were a couple things. I think for the most part, this spring just confirmed what we knew about this team from the first week all the way to the last. You know, backup defensive tackle is going to be a problem. Linebackers, obviously very interesting. They're happy about the young wideouts. And for me, you know, the breakout star that everyone had been talking about was KJ Hamler, right? You know, he had the big gain, two touches, you know, one rushing and one receiving, does have the fumble. But the receiver I was looking for was actually Matt Kippenham, who of course had the touchdown late, had three catches. And for me, the reason was that every time we went to practice on Wednesdays, which is the only time we get to see the team during spring ball, he was taking first-team reps. And partly that's due to Juwan Johnson having a boot wrapped around his left foot. But for me, that spoke to, even though he's handling baseball right now in the spring, he's done enough to master the playbook and prove himself to earn those reps, even if it's in Johnson's place. So, of course, he performs the blue-white game. Is he going to be, you know, in the thick of the mix come the fall? I don't think so. But if they need to go to him for whatever reason, I think they've got great confidence in him in addition to Hamler, and those wideouts are in a really good spot. And otherwise, the weaknesses I mentioned, Antonio Shelton looked good to me. Fred Hansard showed some flashes, and even your guy down in Harrisburg, Damian Barber, looked good as well.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Hip and Hammer because he just looks like he's got that certain something. You know, the first touchdown catch he caught, I was impressed by the way he got off the line of scrimmage. But he looks like maybe just a guy that, for all the reasons you mentioned, we should have been talking about him a little bit more. It's just hard to make sense of, outside of the big three or four guys there, where a guy like this fits into the picture. And, you know, like as you said, I think you're looking probably beyond the 2018 season. But people should look at the viability of that performance and see some of his core skills and feel very good about where he's going in his career.
And I'll tell you exactly why you get that feeling. It's his route running. I mean, that release off the line, he was able to shake Zach McPherson, I believe, on that first touchdown that you mentioned from Trace McSorley. He's got the quicks, he's got the ability, and he's able to put that all together in very, short space, but also that long speed. So for him, that's something a little bit rare, I think, you see from redshirt freshman. KJ stands out naturally because of his ability. But, you know, I would probably look at Matt Kippenhammer, considering all those factors, as someone along the offensive line, you know, maybe a Mike Miranda or a C.J. Thorpe, who's not going to factor in quite yet, but gives Penn State the confidence that if they have an injury up front, whereas a couple of years ago they might be in a really poor position, they'll be just fine plugging one of those young guys in. I think you could say that with Matt Kippenhammer. I think, you know, the blue-white game probably gave him too much attention, but for me, like I said, it just confirmed that, okay, at least he's had a pretty good spring, and then he had a great ending to it, as everyone saw on April 21st.
Do you think DeAndre Tompkins is a fair comparison for him?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention Tompkins because the two of them were paired up last summer when Hippenhammer was a true freshman and, you know, they had a real mentor-mentee relationship as Deshaun Hamilton had with Hamler. And I think that's fair. I think Tompkins has got better long speed, which you could say, you know, when you compare Tompkins to anyone on the team. But, you know, from a body type perspective, versatility, and, you know, at least on the surface, we don't really know Matt Kippenhammer, but a maturity standpoint, I think there are definitely parallels there.
Should Penn State fans feel more nervous about the backup defensive tackle situation or about the tight end situation?
That's a good question, because to me, the tight end question all hinges on Nick Bowers, and that's not a bet, you know, based on his injury history that you really feel good about or want to take. But my understanding is that he should be good to go for camp, and that's based on the fact that every time we saw him in practice, he didn't take any reps, but at the very least, he was dressed up in pads. And again, he was healthy towards the end of last season. So for him, he's the most complete tight end. He's the most natural tight end they have amongst them. You know, your other options, of course, Jonathan Holland, you know, I think could use some refinement. He only had 9 snaps in the second half of last season offensively. You know, the freshman, Pat Freiermuth, is going to step in. Again, a more natural tight end than I think Zach Kuntz is, who's 6'7", looking to really work in his run blocking. But if Bowers is healthy, he's good to go. Otherwise, I think you'd be concerned there. However, ultimately, my concern lies with defensive tackles. And that's not because, you know, again, that they don't have capable bodies there. Robert Windsor, Kevin Givens, Antonio Shelton should do a good job as the top three. But those guys together barely combine for more than half the snaps Penn State will play at defensive tackle. So when they've got to fill in against a Michigan State, an Ohio State, Iowa, Wisconsin, power running teams that are just going to wear you down over time, they need people to fill out about that 45% of those defensive snaps. And right now, it's a question mark.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking to Andrew Callahan from Lions 247 just about Penn State in spring. And, you know, to go circle back to defensive tackles, Andrew, I'm of the belief that P.J. Mustipher's got a shot if he comes in and kind of like follows that Yetur Gross-Matos growth trajectory. I know it's rare for a true freshman defensive tackle to see reps, but given the situation and given what to me looks like a pretty college-ready player, I think there's an opportunity there for Mustipher. Would you agree that there's at least a glimmer of hope for him to show something this summer and crack that rotation?
You know, I would too, because he's also a bigger body. And right now, when you split them up into more natural three techniques, meaning they're playing the outside shoulder of the guard and their job is basically penetrating the backfield versus a one technique. Most people know those as nose tackles. Mustipher fits that kind of, you know, double team holding up nose tackle, whereas, you know, on the roster right now, you've got Robert Windsor and you've got Fred Hansard, who's probably the number four defensive tackle. But after that, that's it. Antonio Shelton's much more of a three technique. Ellison Jordan, who's coming back from a broken kneecap, is more of a three technique, as is Kevin Given. So Mustipher's got the chance because, you know, they're shallow in depth overall, but also his specific position. He could step in there. He's got a good 4-star pedigree. Older brother, I believe, played at Notre Dame. So you've got all these things working in his favor. You don't know until he shows up, but right now, I think that's the right assessment.
Looking on the other side of the line, I think I was thinking one thing and maybe saw another at Blue White. I wasn't sure what Ryan Bates, what his future held, his immediate future. It looks like they seem pretty committed to him at left tackle, though. What would you say in your eyes would be the ideal starting five there? I mean, I think really right guard really is a question, but are you working off the assumption that it's all Bates at left tackle?
Yep, no, you were on the money there, Dustin, because Ryan Bates was the only offensive lineman, you know, in that mix that did not change positions during the blue-white game. So everyone you saw in the interior at least played two spots, even the right tackle, left, Will Fries went from right to left during the course of the game. But Ryan Bates, when he was on the field, stuck at left tackle. So for me, that spells out that the lineup we were used to seeing, you know, at the end of the regular season is going to be the one when you take out Brendan Vann, of course, left, graduated now with the Panthers, and you put in Michael Mennett. So left tackle Ryan Bates, left guard Steven Gonzalez, your center should be Connor McGovern, your right guard will be Michael Mennett, and then the right tackle, you know, was split between Will Fries and Chaz Wright during camp. I think, you know, right now they're just trying to cross-train Fries from left to right, but I believe Fries will take that job of right tackle, but if it's not him, it'll definitely be Chaz Wright.
And that combination, you know, I know that last year, you know, James Franklin really talked about his expectations for the line a lot. And I think in a lot of ways, probably didn't quite measure up to the way that he spoke about the line, say, this time last year. But I think this version of the line, especially if you have guys staying healthy, which has been kind of an issue, this line is actually in position to make a big step forward.
Yes, it is. I think the expectations he laid out, I believe it was a Big Ten Media Days last year, you know, the line could be one of the best, and they expect it to be one of the best in the conference, was definitely premature. And, you know, as much as that sounds like hindsight, I think you look back, and those are guys who are still, you know, true sophomores, and like Connor McGovern, or redshirt sophomores like Steven Gonzalez and Ryan Bates, who had only recently been plugged into the lineup. So, you know, guys you might have seen finish off Big Ten Championship games, you know, in the Rose Bowl back then, were at different positions like Bates was, or weren't in the lineup at all at the beginning of the 2016 season. So I think the expectations, like I said, that Franklin laid out last summer are now applicable this summer. And not only from the standpoint of the starting lineup, but their depth. I mean, you know, the second team offensive line, a little bit disappointing in the blue-white game, but you've got real talent there when you look at guys like Mike Miranda, C.J. Thorpe, Alex Gellerstedt, even an offensive tackle. You can put out there in the event of injury, and you feel like even though he might be a downgrade slightly from the player he's replacing, overall the unit, they should be just fine.
Yeah, a few really good players there who are in that cradle where if you need them, they're ready, but a year of seasoning, they'll be really ready beyond the 2018 season. Let me ask you about linebackers because, you know, that's a position where, right or wrong, I came away feeling a little bit better about that position, mainly because I was really impressed by Jesse Luketta. I thought that, you know, his game and his approach to the game and how, you know, when he makes a decision, he makes decisions quick and he closes on guys hard. He's aggressive. He struck me as a guy who, if you were on the fence about whether he could or couldn't play, like, I felt like he could play as a true freshman.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't go that far because you look at the teams now, they're split up. You know, the blue team is going to be basically your first two third stringers, and then everybody else was on that white team as Luketta was. But, you know, it was impressive because the fact is when he was in high school, he transferred positions a couple of times, cornerback to safety, and then dropped down to linebacker. And, of course, that's a position that you need to change your angles, your body type, and your understanding of the game, and your run fits are much more important. And it seemed like that transition was seamless. And again, it's in a scrimmage, but facing the superior competition, he impressed me with the angles he took, the way he finished, as you said, how decisive he was. So I think it bodes well down the line. I'm not sure he's in that mix. Again, Micah Parsons saw basically every single snap there for the blue team, and you had Cam Brown and Cole Farmer both set out as healthy vets. So I think you should feel good about the group. What stood out to me about them, and Luketta even included, because he's not known as the fastest guy, but the speed at the position, just as I felt last year in the defense overall, is appreciably faster. You just look at these guys, and Parsons in particular, and just go, that's a little bit different speed than you're used to seeing out of this Penn State defense. I think it speaks to the recruiting they've done in recent years, obviously Parsons being a physical freak that he is as a five-star kid. But, you know, regardless of, they might be more inexperienced, they're going to make more mistakes. That group as a whole is going to have the ability to make up for those mistakes simply because they're better, they're faster, and they're stronger physically.
About 20 seconds, did Parsons in that first quote-unquote game action back up and more what you thought about him?
Yeah, he looked good. You know, I think early on in the season, I think you'll see him rotate in and be the second stringer. I think they'd like to give him the keys to the defense, but, you know, because it's a transition from him too, just like Luketta, defensive end, the linebacker, there's a lot going on there. You'll probably see him at the will position, and then maybe next season, 2019, he takes over the mic.
There you go. Andrew Callahan from Lions 247. Help us break down what we saw in Penn State's blue-white game, the linebacker picture, the defensive tackle picture. Obviously, there's a lot that we still have to learn this summer and into the fall, but some really good observations there, Andrew. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dustin.
We're moving on here. We're going to talk some Penn State hoops. Pat Chambers gets a contract extension. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.